Well, we're just going to follow the Holy Spirit here this morning. We did last week, if you'll notice that really last week the Lord completely changed my message and what I was going to minister on. And there's just things that he just keeps talking to me about. You know, we've stepped into a place and time, and there's things that have really changed. And you need to have to notice that. You got to pick it up in your spirit. You can't, especially in this age, you know, is Michael was right on target with what he shared this morning, because we're in that funnel. We're in that, and we're at the bottom of the funnel. We're not at the top. We're at the bottom of this funnel. And it is most important thing is one of the things that he said about line upon line, precept upon precept, staying in line with the Word of God. Because there's so much things that are leading off today. They're leading people off of the Word of God. Getting people off over into all kind of stuff that they call good things. But they're not the Word of God. And keeping people in line with the Word of God. You need to understand this. Jesus Christ is the living Word. That's what He is. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and reveals it to you. You will never, the Holy Spirit cannot reveal to you Jesus outside of the Word. He doesn't. So when people are outside of the Word, the Holy Spirit can't reveal things to them and can't show things to them. Because why? You're in darkness. The funnel, you know, he said that people who weren't, you know, coming over toward the center, they're in darkness. Much of the church today is in darkness. They can't even see the truth. My words, if you folks would hear some of the things, because as being a minister, I get stuff sent to me from ministerial things and stuff. Things that are going on out here are insane. There's people out here, big churches, big ministries, they're nuts. But you know what? They believe they're right. But they're so far off of the Word, but they can't see it. You could walk up and tell them. You could pull the Bible out and show it to them, and they'll say, oh yeah, we believe that. And they ain't doing that at all. But they believe they are. They believe they are. They're convinced they're following the Bible. But you look at what they're doing, they're saying, how does that and this fit? It don't fit. Is staying in line with the Word, walking in the light. It's one of the things that you want to do if you want to change people's lives, walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. Stay in the light. Because nobody walking in darkness is going to change anybody's life. They're going to keep the other people in darkness with them. You got to walk in the light to bring people to the light. You can't walk in darkness. This whole idea today of the seeker friendly is we go out in the darkness with them, you know. We go out, how we reach the world is we go out into the world, and their ideas to go into the world is we become a little bit more like them. To reach them. And no, you don't. You can't walk in darkness and bring people to light. They're always going to follow. They're going to follow what you teach them. If you use fleshly things to bring people into the kingdom, you're going to have to use fleshly things to keep them. Anything you use fleshly to bring people into the church, you're going to have to continue to do it. I've watched it over the years. I've watched ministers do things fleshly to get people to come to church, and you quit doing the fleshly things, and they leave. They never stay. Unless you keep giving them the flesh. You keep giving them the fleshly things, they're going to leave. We need to know we need to understand these things. Let me ask you a question. The Holy Spirit told me to ask you folks something while we were here this morning, and in fact, just the end of worship here, and Mike got talking, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. How many of you find yourself in an area sort of not, I don't like to use the word frustration, but there's a sense in you, you're not happy with your job you used to be, but you ain't. You're only happy with a lot of things. Or just things, you're a discontent. How many of you are in discontent? Are you just happy the way things are? I'll tell you what, if you're in discontent, it's because God wants you to be in discontent. We've moved into a place the Spirit is not like before. And I tell you what, people are content with and people are content in what they're doing are going to find out that mostly a lot of people are going to miss God. Now, I don't care if you don't like, but you know, there's a discontentment in me. I'm not happy the way things are. Yet, I am not in a frustration over it. I've learned over time, discontentment means to me most of the time, I know this, change is coming. Don't be content in where you are right now and what you're doing. Things are going to change. Last week I got, you know, talking. The Lord told me to talk about revival. Anymore, the gift of the prophet operates on me more than any. I've never had it like this before, that the gift of the prophet. This stays on me. I can be during the week and see things, know things, and all of a sudden, and I realize it's the gift, but it's the time that we're in. And so when this operates and works, it's hard for me to, I usually don't know to the last minute where I'm going or what I'm going to talk about or what I'm going to minister. I get wonderful ideas and notes and I get all kinds of things and I think, boy, I'll tell you what, the Lord shows me stuff and throws me things. I think, well, maybe he wants me to minister that. Then I get up to go minister that and that ain't what he wanted me to minister anyhow. But that's part of what it is yielding over into that prophet's anointing. That's the way it operates. It operates really lots of times off the spur of the moment. That's not always easy. It took me a long time to get used to that. I don't know. Most people like everything planned out ahead, you know. I'm getting ready for my retirement when I'm 27, you know. And so I'm just out there getting ready and doing all that working and people are doing. And they come down and they're dissatisfied with the retirement anyhow. Because they planned it. They planned it and now they're stuck with their plan. Hallelujah. Well, I've learned yielding over here this. It was a bit discomforting, but you know, I've learned you got to flow with the Holy Spirit. Because there's one thing that I like is having the anointing. I do like to have that. Anybody could get up and give a talk, but when the anointing isn't there, it's like, well, let me go home. I want the anointing. And there is a discontent, and there will be because of the move of God. Because things must change. They can't continue the same. They can't continue the same. Like Mike was talking, you start compressing time, you start compressing things, bring it together, it's not the same anymore. You know, it's just like anything in the natural, you compress it, it's not the same anymore. And you take things and compress it. We're in a time period and things are being compressed, we're moving, there's a frustration. You know, it's one of the things that God was dealing with some things last night, had me get out a little book that I had before. And it deals with manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And he had me get that book out last night, this little book. And I got out and started reading through it. And I just think God just talking to me about things. And that's, you know, dealing with this last days, this move of God that's going on, that we're in. We're not coming into it. We're in it. But what do we really need? What do we really need? You know, most of the church world doesn't understand where we're at in time or what we're doing. Many people are trying to do what they always did. And really, the church got off base and lost, really, our purpose. What's our purpose? Why are we here in the earth? And you know, most ministers say, well, we're here to win the lost. That's an end result. The church is missing it big time today. Major ministries, they think, well, you know, we got to reach the lost and they're sinners. They're right, we have to reach the lost. But that we're not going to reach it. You can start focusing to reach the lost and turn around and miss it 100% what God's doing. Because you don't start off getting the end thing done without taking care of the things that are in the beginning. And, you know, there's the scripture, and I just, you know, in 1 John, and John said this scripture, and it's in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in verse 8, it says this. It says this, and it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest. What was the purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the purpose. The Son of Man, God's Son, Jesus, came into this world. And I wasn't going to go this way at all. Well, okay. Well, just the Son of Man came into the world for this purpose. Why did Jesus come into the world? People say, well, to save the lost. That's an end result. He had to do something so that end result could take place. He had to come and destroy the works of the devil. That's what he had to do. What's the purpose of the church? See, the church has lost its purpose. Kenneth E. Hagin, when he was born into the earth, God told his mother, who really wasn't a very spiritual woman at all, told her that God called this baby that ended up and actually died, was dead for over 45 minutes, came back to life, lived out his life here on the earth. But God told her, says that, told her to name him John because his ministry, basically what it said is he's going to be the John of the Baptist to get, just as John the Baptist was sent to get the people ready for Jesus' coming into the earth as a man, he said, in his ministry, he said, I'm going to send He said, this man here, God's going to use your son, is in since John the Baptist's ministry, to get my people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. See, is to get my people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. See, there's things that God got to do, and you need to understand this. God will never get the lost if he can't get you. I don't care if you're born again. Most of the church world, God doesn't have them. The devil does. They're following false doctrines. They're following all kinds of things. They're following stuff. And right now, the whole thing that God's desire is to do is to reach the church. God's desire is to reach the church. That's what he wants. And he doesn't want to, he's not satisfied with the church. He's not satisfied with Ed in the condition he's in. He's not satisfied with you with the condition you're in. There's something you need to understand. If we want the power of God to move through us, we must change. Most Christians are very happy the way they are. And if they are, nothing's going to change. The only thing that ever changes the world is when the church changes. Now, the church has changed and gone the way of the world, and it has drugged the world right along with it into its junk. And that's why America's in its mess today. Because the church took the world there, said, let's go over here. We're going to have a Christianity that's open to everybody and everything, and we're all going to be dancing together, all going to heaven. Anybody that dies, we're all going to heaven. Live like hell, go to heaven. Don't matter. See, they went that direction. Whichever direction the church takes it, well, then that's the way that the whole thing flows. It just flows in that direction. See, the church never sees itself as a leader, but it's been leading all along in the wrong direction, but it's been the leader. The church has been the leader. The church has helped. I mean, I watched the church world go over in so-called the conservative right in the church world. I watched them when they got involved in politics back through years ago and started dragging. I said, this ain't good. This ain't God. They're trying to control, not through the Spirit. They're trying to control through politics, through elections, through money, putting their money out there, doing all these things to control. Now, God might have a person get involved, but God, all the money you dump into it and all the things you try to buy and the people you try to buy off, and that's what they've done. They've tried to buy people off. They're just like the world. The world spent their money to get abortion through, and the church just tried to spend money to get abortion out through abortion election, but they don't know how to stop it. You know, abortion can be stopped in America. It don't have to be stopped by vote. It can be stopped by getting God moving and changing the hearts of people. The church has neglected it. The church just keeps fighting physical battles, playing their physical games, calling it God, and God ain't in it at all. It's man's way of doing stuff. It's how men do it. They go down in politics in Washington and complain about, they're down there listening to all them liberals. Why? They take their money down there and try to get them to listen to them. They're no different. They do the same stuff and then complain about the other guy. And all it is buying up politicians, and those politicians love it. They stand there, they take money from both sides. Corporate America stinks to hell. Corporate America's dumping money in both camps like crazy. It's dumping it in both camps like crazy. Why? So when they come into power, hey, we gave you money. Oh, if the church knows who they are. See, that's why the Lord has me teaching the things he does. When the church rises up, the church keeps trying to play the games of the world, and we're not called to do that. Hallelujah. We're standing in the place of true authority. We're standing in the place of the real authority. Hallelujah. And we need to go there. We need to pick up the purpose. For this purpose the Son of Man came, what, to manifest? He was manifest for the purpose that he might destroy the works of the devil. We as a church, you need to get this in your thinking. You're not trying to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus did that. But there's one thing that you must do, and you must pick this up. You must be, your purpose must be number one, not to defeat Satan, but to enforce his defeat. That's the job of the church, number one, is in the earth, the church is to enforce the defeat of Satan. Jesus defeated him. The church is not trying to defeat him. Quit trying to fight with the devil. I don't have to fight with him. He has already fallen. He's already done. Jesus said, I saw that sucker like lightning fall out of heaven. And Jesus came down near the earth as a man and licked him in every circumstance. Went off into hell, was raised from the dead, defeated him, walking on the earth, defeated him in hell, went back to heaven, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus. And Jesus said to the church, you guys go. And what do we go for? To enforce that defeat. We're to enforce the defeat of the devil. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life. What do we do in this world? Anything you see, the stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the devil. We're here to enforce life. We're the life enforcers. That's what we do. The first thing Jesus told his disciples, you're going to do, in my name you'll cast out devils. That's what you do. In other words, you have authority over the devil. The devil is a defeated foe to the church. There is fear among Christians. Christians got so scared of the devil, you know what they did? They started preaching in the church he don't exist. Act like he's not around. If we don't talk about it, we don't feel so bad. We don't act like there's a devil around today. Yet Satan's running America. He has run this nation. He's been in charge. You go down to Washington, we vote these guys in, and they go down to Washington, and the devil dominates them. Why? The church can't do anything about it. They're told, you know, don't we just, oh, we're praying, asking God to do stuff. We ain't about us asking. God ain't going to do nothing about the devil. It's the church's job. It's the church's job to deal with the devil. And the church has their nice little religious prayers that they do, and nice little things that they say, and then when they're done, they look out there and say, boy, it don't look like it's working. Then they go back and pray again, wringing their hands, and oh, if we can just get something done here. Oh my God, America's going to hell in a handbasket. What are you worried about? The church already went to hell in a handbasket. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just telling you, the devil ain't taking over. Don't get scared of the devil. I ain't scared of the devil. You know, I had a pastor years ago who used to be scared of the devil. He said, you watch out when you got dealing with spirits and people with spirits. You watch out now. You be careful. Anybody better be careful as him and the devil when I get around. Hallelujah. See, what happens if you start casting out spirits? He'd have got one cast out of him too. He had a spirit of fear. What he had a spirit of fear. He did. Our thing of fear dominated him in his life, and he had fears, and those fears, he'd never deal with them. Now, I want to talk to you about it. See, there's people, you're sitting right here today, and you have fears in your life, and you never deal with them. We call them little phobias. They ain't phobias, they're fears. It ain't a phobia. See, we use the term phobia. Don't sound, it sounds more medical. We can get over here, and then I can rationalize my fear. Let me tell you, any fears that you have of things is going to turn around and affect you. And there's places of faith you'll never walk. There's places in the spirit you can't go to because the devil will use those fears against you, and you can't. He'll always have you in an area that you're crippled that you can't ever get out of. Always. He'll have you a place that if you don't. See, many people have fears. They don't think it's any big deal. So I just stay away from this or that, or I don't do this or that or the other thing. But I'll tell you, the devil will use that thing on you. If you have any place of fear, you cannot tell me that the devil doesn't bring that thing up to you and throw it in your face every once in a while. I'll guarantee he does. He'll put you right in a situation where you have to look that fear in the face. And I want you to understand, God will put you in a situation. He'll let the devil take you to that place that you're going to have to look at that fear in the face. And you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to. It's not being mean, because God wants you. He doesn't want you to have any kind of fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And see, people aren't sound today. You know, Mike was talking about and made mention of the whirlwind. Do you ever think that a hurricane is a huge whirlwind? That's what it is. It's an enormous hurricane. You know what's in the center of the hurricane? Peace. Ain't no wind in a hurricane in the center. It's peace and calm. I mean, you want to be in the middle of the hurricane. You want to be flowing. God's moving in a whirlwind, and you want to be in the middle of it. I don't want to watch it happen. It wants to be in the middle of the thing, because that's the place of peace. There's no fear in that place. Fear can't go to that place. Fear goes to the outside where everything gets sucked up. That's a place where things get chucked out. Isn't it? Hallelujah. I want you to ask you, today I had no intention of going this way, the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to be changed? And I'm telling you, you need to be changed. You know you need to be changed. If anybody here and you don't need any change, I feel sorry for you. Because if you can't see it, you're blind. You're blind spiritually. There's a change. I know within myself, I thank God for as far as He brought me, but I look and I think, because I can see the move of God that's coming and there needs to be a change. There's one thing that we don't have today in the church, but this whirlwind will bring back to the church. And it's one thing to the church, because it must come to the church. It's not for the world, it's for the church. It's fire. Fire must come to the church, because fire will change the Christian, and that's its purpose. Fire is not for the world. Fire is for the church. Fire is for the believer, and fire will change the church. And we need the fire of God. See, the fire of God has been lost. When men get off the Word of God and get moving away, it's just, you'll never go to a seeker-friendly church and find fire. There's never fire there. Those people ain't burning after God. There's not that. Those people are, I want the church that I get in quick. They do a little bit of a few rock songs for me. I get out the door and they say, you're all right, you're good. You go down here, throw a couple bucks in the plate, and we're just cool for the rest of the week. And God says, we're all right. That's what they want. There's no fire for God. If you ask them during the week to go after something with God, they have no interest whatsoever in it. You know, they want, you know, let's have a home group, and the home groups are places we just go and we fellowship. God don't fellowship there. It's where people fellowship. You know, it's good to have fellowship. There's nothing wrong with eating meals together. But I'll tell you, the church should spend a little bit more time with God than they have been eating meals. Haven't you noticed? We could use a few less meals. I wouldn't hurt us at all. Hallelujah. No, there's nothing wrong with it. I enjoy eating. But what I want you to understand, though, is this. There needs to be a fire. There needs to be a change. Last week, the Lord had me talking about the things that take place during a revival, the stuff that happens. One of the things He wants me to talk about today, which He just only told me when I got here this morning, but it's about, if you went into like the 1980s, when I came into the kingdom of God, one of the things, see, we have this great idea today about how we're going to reach the lost. People write books on how you do it. There's all these kind of things. But I want to tell you something. I have been in revivals and saw the lost worn by the multitudes in revivals, and they never followed the pattern of one of those books that were ever written by anybody. They were never. One of the greatest benefits, like that was of any kind of books, were like Brother Hagin's little book on the new birth. You'd give to somebody to read, then you could walk in with the Holy Ghost on you and you could get a person saved like that. Because all it was the Word of God. See, we're trying to get people saved through programs. We're doing all these different things. God has a program. Now, in the 1980s, when I came into the kingdom, I got born again January 1980. And I came in, it was during a time, really, there was a revival, move of God was going on. It was a charismatic renewal was happening. And that charismatic renewal was going on. People were coming into the kingdom, but there was one thing that I, above all, that I look today and I can tell you, is why I know that the church world is off base, because we don't have the fire. The fire, the people back then who were born again had fire. My God, they'd go stand in line for hours to get into meetings. People today will stay home by the droves if they have to stand in line 2 seconds. People don't want to, there's no search for, there's no fire inside of people anymore. We've lost the fire. In those days, my words, to go to play, people would go to services all the time. It wasn't hard to get anybody to go to a service. My words, power of God, people wanted the power of God. They were after it. They wanted a move of God. And I'll tell you what, you could go, I mean, dear Lord, the people would just come in droves. They were hungry. There was a fire burning in people. And so when that fire was burning in them, evangelism was just a byproduct. It happened, dear Lord. You know, you'd go there, like I was in a full gospel businessman. I mean, people would come there to those meetings, and they would come into those meetings, and there was always a fire there. There was a fire there, and you come in. You didn't have to work to try to get people to get saved, dear God. People just show up and get saved. Why? Because there was fire in the believers. There was fire in the believers. The believers were burning for God. The discontent that we have is because we... The church, something missing in us. And the jobs can't fulfill it. The bank accounts can't fill it. The stuff can't fill it. There's a craving inside that says, I want, man, I want to walk in those places. I want to see people again, hungry for God, going after God. Man, people were after God. The church was after God, and evangelism was just a, a byproduct that happened. I mean, we didn't, well, let's just try to win the lost today. My God, you showed up, they just got saved. I mean, that's what it was. It wasn't all this stuff we do today and trying to figure out and get another program. And maybe we can play them certain kind of music they like, and they do this or they do that, and we're going through all these things. We didn't do none of that. We just wanted God so bad, and they got near you. They wanted God. There was fire on the believers. There was fire. And if the fire doesn't come to the believers, you can start all the witness and programs you want, and they're going to be basically worthless. It's the fire that brings people in. It's the fire on the believer. The believer needs to, I need to be changed. Why? To reach people. The more I can get on fire for God, the more I can burn for God. We won't need a program. Hallelujah. You won't be able to stop the Holy Ghost from fulfilling God's plans and purposes through you. You need done. No fire, Holy Ghost don't move. He moves by fire. Let me read. I just, you know, I have preached before. I can't go back to it. In fact, online, there's a, you could download the whole message. I preached back, I guess it was the end of 2014. About the vision the Lord gave me the night he began to talk to me. And that, it took place in April 1991 is when it took place. It was in April 15th, about 10 o'clock at night, I think it was. At 10 o'clock at night, I was sitting and just sort of studying the scriptures and things. And the Spirit of the Lord, just out of the clear blue, minding my own business, said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen through this valley in the end times. I'm going to show you what's going to take place. And he took me over to 1 Kings 18 chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was going to preach some stuff about the authority of the name of Jesus. I've been trying to go there. I have great intentions. But anyhow, I'm not going to go back and preach the whole message. But what the Lord did is he showed me from the things from 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, he showed me of what God, the things that are here that took place, he showed me as types and shadows of what's going to happen here in the end times. Now, it was interesting because last March I was down with Randall Greer Ministry down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And Randy Greer got up and said, the Lord just told me, gave me a pattern of what the end time move of God's going to be. And he got up and he said, turn to 1 Kings 18 chapter. And he preached the exact thing the Lord had told me in 1991. Hallelujah. So I sit and heard that and say, wait, I ain't crazy. Glory to God. It's always good to get verification on stuff. But the Lord spoke to me back then and he said, now it's time for these things to take place. What the Lord has been doing since the end of last year is working us through on things to getting us ready, hallelujah, to coming up to this place of fire. Because one of the things that Randall Greer talked about, really, the Lord spoke to me about this. This fire that's coming is the same thing as we're going to deal with here, the fire, is with this whirlwind. The whirlwind's going, the first objective of the whirlwind is to change the church. It is to bring the anointing back to the church again and change the church. That's the first thing on the list is to do. I was saying this to people. I'd say it to ministers for 10 years. They're talking about, oh, we just got to get more evangelistic and out the lost. And I kept telling people, we got to get the church turned around. We got to get the church turned around. I'll tell you what, most ministers, I wasn't in vision with them at all. I couldn't see what they were saying. I said, man, we can't keep the church running. We can't keep Christians down the road. And we want to bring more people in to what? What are you going to bring them into? Christians won't follow God. How are we going to get them to follow God? We don't need a larger crowd. Look what these churches did with their larger crowds. Went off into all kind of trash and junk. Back in the 80s, we didn't have that. Man, people get in the kingdom, and man, they wanted to be in the kingdom. Glory to God. Why? Because the church was on fire in the kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been laboring too much on our own, trying to do too much without God. God ain't in it. Well, we're just going to use my faith and believe it. Well, I'll tell you what, first I would like to get the power of God on me, and then turn me loose with my faith. I'll show you something, dear God. Hallelujah. That's why the people back there, they were flowing in a move of God. They were on fire for God, and their faith did marvelous things. People's faith did awesome stuff. It's because of where they were flowing. Hallelujah. We're just trying to out here just do it on our own, just working on our own. We need a move of God. But one of the things we need, and I've told people, is that we need a move of God in the church. The church needs a move of God. When you go back over and look at some of the past revivalists back in history in the United States, and they're working. And time again, I would read different individuals would talk about that they wanted to reach the lost in the area and that stuff. They said, and some of them said they went as far as 12 to 19 weeks they would preach and hold a revival in a church. And he said it would usually take between that time, about that long. Now, they're talking about getting together every night. Every night they'd get together and preach. How many people you know today, how many Christians would ever consider 12 to 19 weeks? That's why you're discomforted. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to see it. We're going to see it because there ain't going to be any other way to do it. But they said this, the 12 to 19 weeks, this wasn't for reaching the lost. He said it usually took 12 to 19 weeks to get the church in line and get the church to repent, get themselves in line with God, so God could start doing miracles to bring the lost in. See, today we got, literally we have McDonald's Christianity. That's what we've got. We've let the world come in. We've brought the world into the church. How can we have the fast food church? It never works that way, and it can't. It's not going to work that way. You can't come to church once a week and have as much a dose of God as you need. It'll never work. You'll never have it. And that's what people want today. Just give me a little dose. And I want a big dose of whatever else I'm doing. That's what I want. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. There's got to be a supernatural change. God realizes that today at the church. God's going to bring a change to the church in spite of the church. He's going to bring fire. Everybody ain't going to like it. Some people will want to continue in what they've been doing. You know, they're happy with their life the way it is. You know, I want it this way. Well, they'll go their way. But I want to tell you what, there's fire coming. Now, in 1 Kings, I didn't lose my spot, we're going back over there. In 1 Kings 18 chapter, I want to talk about the fire because Randall Greer talked about it. He said the Lord keeps telling him that the number one thing that he wants to do is revive the church. That's what he's doing. He said, and I agree with him 100%, he said 2016 is a year of restoration for the church. Now, I want to tell you what, it ain't going to go in great restoration like some think. Some people are going to go the hard way in restoration. They'll get restored, but they're going to have to, there's going to be some judgment to get them restored. Some people are going to do that. Some people ain't going to move till there's judgment. They're not going to move. They're not going to move to the center of the funnel till judgment comes. They won't move there. I'm sorry, that's just what people do. People usually have to have things fall apart in their life before they will move over. As long as they think they can get away with what they're doing, and it seems to be okay, and it's one thing, God's not quick to judge people, so they think because they've been doing this for 20 years and getting away with it, it's always going to be that way. And things will get judged. It will be difficult for many people. But God's purpose is to bring people over into the center. God wants to get people back over into the light again and get us into the light. If he gets the church into the light, my God, what will take place in this earth? Hallelujah. That's what he wants. This is not to hurt anybody or cause trouble. This is the fulfillment of the dreams that Christians have always had and wanted. We thought we want these revivals. Well, if we want a revival, we're going to have to do the things that cause it to happen. We're going to have to flow with it. It don't just happen. Hallelujah. But the Lord spoke to me about this and told me about the things going on and used Elijah. Now, Elijah had called these guys, had called the prophets of Baal out in the Asherah and called them out. And they did this thing with two sacrifices. They had one bull that the guys were going to sacrifice. They went through the thing and all day from morning till late afternoon, they were trying to call fire down and it didn't work. No fire came down. So Elijah came out and Elijah went through and he went along And he went and made an altar. But it's one of the things I want you to see this, because we see there's a pattern. Elisha followed the word of God to the T. In other words, he followed precept by precept of God's word. Elisha offered his sacrifice at the time that God said you offer the evening sacrifice. The Bible says he offered the evening sacrifice. He built an altar. He didn't just build any altar. He built an altar with the 12 stones of the tribes of Israel, like God told them to build an altar. He followed the word to the T. See, today we want the outcomes today that God has. We look at and read the scriptures, and all we see is the neat outcome, and that's what we're after. But we don't read the part that tells them how they followed the word so they had the outcome. You got to follow the word. So he's following the word of God that God told him to do. He's doing this thing exactly like God said. He put the wood on the fire, exactly on the altar, just like God said you do. He went and did the whole thing. He cut up the sacrifice, just like they would cut the sacrifices up by the word, how they would lay it out on the altar to burn the sacrifice. He's not doing any. He's following precept upon precept. He's following what the word says. In other words, we could say in his day and time, he'd be in the middle of the funnel. That's where he was. He's in the light. Now understand this. All these people standing around him are God's covenant people, but they're all in darkness. They're God's covenant people. This is Israel, God's covenant people, and they're all in darkness. They've been worshiping the Baals. Now we say, we don't worship the Baals in America. No, we worship everything else. It's one of the things, I know this, if I don't have a burning hunger for God, there's things that will distract me, that will carry my flesh off, that I want to do and think is more important than what God wants to do. And whether you like it or not, that's an idol. Whether you like it or not, they're the distractions of life that become more important to us than the things of God. That we can be easily distracted. It's amazing. You know, people talk about being busy. I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company back when I came into the kingdom. And I remember coming in, we had to work overtime all the time. But I never missed services. Today, everybody's so busy. I remember loads of times. I was, you know, had lots of things to do. But if you gave me, this is what God's doing over here, and this is what needs done over there. Well, we're going with God. It wasn't even a choice. And I say, my God, some things have changed, Dad, haven't they? You look over here and you think that's really important. You wouldn't have thought that was important before. You'd have never thought that was important. You'd have said, I'm going to tell you, going to church and sitting in these meetings were like going on vacations. You know it, Mike, hey. It was like going on vacation. My God, you were so refreshed and on fire when you left, and all those other people worn out, drugged back from their vacations, were all drugged out and worn out, got to go back to work, because they ran around all week and never rested at all on their vacation. They lied about it all anyhow and came back completely worn out, had to go back to work and hate it. We couldn't wait to get back to work to preach. Folks, it's about revival. I've been there. I've been in it, and I've been out of it. I'll tell you, I like it being in it. Hallelujah. I don't like the stuff that's going on today. I don't want what they got today. I don't want what the big boys say they got. Hallelujah. I want what God got. He's the big boy. He's the one that got something. He makes his stuff work, and I need to get in line. Well, Elijah comes, and he's going to pray. And I'm just a short verse here, verse 37. This is what Elijah prays. Now, Elijah comes out here, and look what he does. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to them again. Now, he prayed before in there. One of the things he did tell them is, God, I want these people to know that I'm not out here doing this thing. I heard from heaven, you told me to do this, and I'm doing this because you told me. Here's an important part, folks. Loads of the vision in the church, and ministers talk about vision. It is their vision. They haven't heard from heaven. We wouldn't be in the mess we had men heard from heaven. We need this. I want to know what heaven is saying and doing. That's what I want to know. That will work. That will work. If God said it. So he's praying here. He says, hear me, O Lord, that this people, why? The people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. The Lord told me that night, 1991, this is what I'm going to have to turn my people's hearts back to me again. He said, that's going to be the first step. Has the church in America's heart been turned back to God? Then it ain't been done yet, has it? But we can go track and chase after the lost all we want. It's not going to do much of anything. Our heart needs to be after God. The people's hearts need to turn back. Well, we want to find out what turned the hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, the stone, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now all the people saw it. They fell on their faces. They didn't say, well, that was pretty nice, wasn't it? They fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He's God. The Lord, He's God. Whether we like to admit it at all, there's lots of times stuff in our life where God ain't the utmost and the highest. And we need to face that fact because I want that to change. I want God to change. I want fire back again in the church. God has to turn His people. You need to understand this. These people weren't seeking God. God was seeking His people. And the Lord told me, I'm going to come looking for my people because they're not going to be looking for me. I thought that was strange. Back in 1991, there's a move of God going on. There's things happening and God gives me this revelation. And I said, man, before Jesus comes back, the church ain't going to be in the right condition that it's supposed to be in. God's going to have to turn us back. And I'm hearing all these ministers saying all this stuff, all the church is just so glorious, and we're just going to down through the end, burn it all out down through. And I'm thinking, that ain't what God told me. Gee, when I start seeing these things come to pass, where the church is slowly moving away from God and moving away from God and the fire stopping, hallelujah. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want the fire. I want the fire back. I want the fire. See, back in the early 80s, this about to go back to about 1982, 83, walking the streets of Lebanon and praying. The Lord said to me, there's going to be a move of God take place through this valley. He said, it's going to be because of people. He said, not because of this generation. He said, there's people before who have prayed and sought me. And He said, you're going to see the move of God through this valley because of what they've done. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get on the boat and head the right way. But they set a thing in motion, and it has not been set in motion by the generations that live today. I haven't done it. In this valley, we basically have a lot of nice church. That's what we got. I don't want nice church anymore. I liked it back in the 80s when the church was like, my God, get on fire. When people weren't ashamed to talk in tongues. That you could turn on the television and they'd even do it on TV. Today you never hear, oh, we're full of the Holy Ghost. I know what they're full of, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. Because they have a fear of men. They're afraid of people. They're afraid of ridicule. We're afraid of what we got. I'm not afraid of what I got. I'm a tongue talker. Hallelujah. I talk in tongues. And if a person thinks of the devil, too poor person, they're already bound by the devil. Why would I care what they thought? They're bound by the devil. What do we care when a person bound by the devil don't want me talking in tongues? Dear Lord! My God, we can go in churches and the communities here and the ministers will stand up and say, tongues is of the devil. They'll tell people, that's tongues is of the devil. They're bound by the devil. The devil's keeping them away from what God's power. I want you to understand this, and this needs to be clear. They can't bring a move of God. They can't bring this fire. They can experience it when we bring it in. But they can't bring it in. And if we back down because of their lack of understanding, we're idiots. Well, the guys ought to be pushing this thing. Hallelujah. We got to. We want the fire. The fire is what turns the people's hearts back. We want the fire. When the fire comes back, it ain't going to be pretty church no more. It ain't going to be these nice little, oh, don't say that. That might upset the sinner. Or your sister so-and-so might leave the church if you say that. Then we'll get up and preach it so she does, so God can move in the place. I'm going to tell you what, there's loads of churches that God can't move because of the people in the pew. And until they get out, there will not be a move of God. And God's going to drive them out in this whirlwind that's coming. He's going to get rid of this slag that is laid in the church that has done nothing but try to cripple it from moving with God. I'll tell you, you don't want to be in that camp. You don't want to be in the camp when God's move starts and you're putting up roadblocks. Don't work well. There's things going to change. There's people need to move. I know in our church, just over time, we had people in our church, and I experienced this. There are things that sometimes I used to get sort of a, oh man, I couldn't figure out what there's going on. There's just like a frustration. You know, you could go so far in the spirit, you couldn't go any further. And I think, what's going on? And all of a sudden, a person would leave the church and it would change everything. I'm not trying to keep everybody. I don't want people who are just going to church. I don't want them because they'll stop the flow of God. When the sinner comes in, they'll be crippling the flow of God, trying to keep things. Oh, and people over time, oh, I wish you wouldn't have preached this, or I wouldn't have preached so-and-so was here, and they have a hard time saying anything. God, would you please get them out of this church immediately? Don't want them here. Afraid of people. Afraid people might hear the truth. Somebody might not like it, you know. Like the guy, you know, when I came into church, said, I hope you don't preach on tongues today. Seminary graduate. A guy who went to a seminary. I think he went to a cemetery, actually, but seminary. Oh, don't, I hope you don't preach in tongues today. You might as well walk up to your minister. I hope you don't preach certain things out of the Word of God that are true today. Hope you don't do that. Why? Afraid. Fear. He says Christian, but he's bound by the devil. He's bound by the devil. He has a spirit of fear. He's afraid of what... He's prayed people to find out what he is. His uncle must not have known that he was a spirit-filled tongue talker. Come over here to our church. We don't talk that thing. Don't say anything about that. My God, when his uncle heard the message, came up to me after the service, shook my hand, said, it's the best sermon I ever heard in my life. I thought, dear God, he's more spiritual. He's a Baptist and was more spiritual than the guy who said he was spirit-filled. We got loads of that in the church world today that is going on right now. Loads of people are sitting in churches, ain't nothing but religious. And they go through the things and make people think they're like part of the Spirit-filled. They're not. They don't want to have nothing to do with the Spirit-filled. They don't want it. It scares them. They have fear. They're afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there's, our hearts need turn back to God. Hearts need turn back. If anything right now, see, Randall Greer said, the Lord showed him the whirlwind. See, that whirlwind's about bringing fire back to the church first. It's about bringing fire. Bringing the fire. See, it's number one. The rain is going to come quickly after the fire. There's going to be a deluge of rain. The Lord said this to me back in 1991. He said, when those people, it talks about Elijah said, told them to get the prophets of Baal and take them down the creek, and he killed them all. Told the people, take them down the creek. In other words, the Lord said to me, my people are going to put away their sin. They're going to put away their own lifestyles, and they're going to come and follow me. That's what's going to happen. See, they were following after something, but they put it away. They went down, it got killed. The fire killed that junk. The fire killed it. And then he said after this, he said, then the rain is going to come and a new anointing is going to come on the church. And he said, the church will outrun the world in the last days. And he's right. It's going to outrun the worldly church. Ahab was a Jew with a covenant from God. But he couldn't keep up with Elijah. Because Elijah had God's anointing on him. Being a Christian ain't enough. Many people have, well, I'm saved and going to heaven. And some barely. I'm saved and going to heaven. I don't want that. I don't want just Jesus look at me and say, you know, all you did is you got saved and made it to heaven. That's it. That's all you did down there. I want fire. I want fire. I want fire because fire will change me. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. The first thing we want is fire. We want fire. Hallelujah. We want this whirlwind to come. The first thing this whirlwind is to bring that fire back. It's going to bring it back. It's going to turn the church. It's going to turn the hearts of God's people back to Him again. Hallelujah. And this is what you're going to find out in this thing. Who's really God's people and who's not? You'll find it out. That's the way it is. You'll find it out. It always is. Hallelujah. Because when the church is cold, Satan always brings his people in and sits them in the pews. Satan always does. My words, the apostles warned us. They're going to send, that Satan will send his teachers into the church. When the apostle wrote it in the New Testament, the church don't believe that. We got people standing in pulpits today in ministries that people say are wonderful. They ain't even saved. And they've bought in half of these damnable doctrines and stuff that we got. And people are listening to them, and they ain't nothing but the devil's boys. The church can't discern it. Why? There's no fire in the church. They don't know what's got anything that looks like it's got a little heat or light. They're running to it. They don't know the difference because they haven't line upon line, precept upon precept. You stay in line with the Word and you start seeing what's not, what's dark and what's light. You have to. You leave the Word. You don't ever follow people. People start getting off the Word. You tell them adios, amigos, I love you, but we ain't going in your camp. We follow the Word. Why? Because there is the light of God. You're able to judge what's good and what's evil. You can't be in darkness and judge what's good and what's evil. You will call evil good and good evil. You can't do it. There's no other way to do it. Hallelujah. Rodney Howard Brown talked about the fire of God, needing the fire of God. And that's what we need. He talked about, he said, we need to, one of the things he said is we need to call out for the fire of God, telling God, we want your fire. We want your fire now. We want the fire of God. We don't want something else. We want the fire of God. We want something that's going to change us. Hallelujah. And it will take us to the things that we've desired and we crave for. Without it, you can't go there. You can't go to that place without it. Hallelujah. See, we need the fire of God. That change will come to the church. Like I said, back in the 1980s, it was nothing bringing people to Christ was the easiest thing in the world to do. You could just go out there, in my words. It's because the people had the anointing and the fire of God on them. It was nothing to have people to come to Christ. It was the easiest thing in the world to bring people to Christ. I remember that was going on. H.B. Reese Candy Company, how many people got saved up there during that time period? We didn't run around witnessing all the time. My word, seemed like, you know, I know, you get around people, and like they'd know you're a Christian, you get around people, it had such an effect on them just getting around them. Just being around them. What happens, see, you got light in you, and I mean, you got some real light in you, you get around people, people who stand in darkness all of a sudden can see because of the light that's in you. The light that emanates from you, the spiritual light, lets them be able to see. What we're trying to do is have people today who walk in darkness thinking because we tell some people about accepting Jesus that that's going to really change something. It's not going to change anything. Because two in darkness ain't going to get anybody to light. We can't go there. We got to come over to that place. Hallelujah. That place of light where the anointing of God is on us. Hallelujah. That it affects the people you're around. Christians, we're called the light of the world. We're the light of the world. He said, you know, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, in other words, if a Christian loses his fire, he's of no good. If salt loses its savor, it isn't any good. If a Christian loses the fire, he's no good. He's no good. I don't want to end up in that, do you? No good? See, I'm a pretty good Christian because I do this. No, it's talking about the fire. Why? Because we're the light of the world. The world cannot see unless the church is on fire. We can't be this little candle sitting on a hill in America. You get far enough away, you can't even see the fire. You can't see that light anymore. Any old little candle, I'll tell you, we need more than a little candle. Hallelujah. We need some fire. We need something that will burn the rocks up in us. We need something that's going to burn up the rocks in us. Hallelujah. I got some rocks in me. I wouldn't need fire if I didn't. You know, we ain't going to sit around playing like we don't need something. You know, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. Well, not to God's standard. Let's get over it. I want to measure my stuff at God's standard. You know, I don't care how I seem to be going now. I know there's more. Hallelujah. And I want more of that anointing. It's just like you take Ken Copeland back years ago when he said about he had a vision and he saw a thing of water, this little pipe coming out there, and he's standing in the vision, it's dripping on his head. And, you know, it's just irritating. You know how water is just dripping like that? And he's standing there, and he looked up, and it's dripping his face, and a drip on his head, just dripping. And he said, Lord, what is this? And the Lord said, that's your spirit. He said, you have enough of me going to enough to just to irritate you. What are you all laughing about? You know, it's a lot of frustration that's in us. It's because our inner man is frustrated. He knows there are more. He's trying to get past our flesh. Don't feel bad. We all got the problem. Hallelujah. But God wants to move to bring that fire. Hallelujah. But we're going to have to ask for it. The Lord told Randall Greer concerning the whirlwind. He said, tell my people to pray for it. Start saying, telling God, we want the whirlwind, or we want the fire to fall. I want that fire to fall. The Lord told me that's the first thing that has to come, is the fire back on the church again. He's going to bring fire back because it'll turn God's people's hearts back to Him again. I want you to think about this now. Most of us here, men and women, and like I say with Wanda and I, we're going together and stuff. I never thought my heart was toward Wanda. I never thought about, it's okay not to see her that often. It's okay. Once a week would be plenty, in the morning to go and see her for an hour on Sunday morning. That would be great. And the rest of the week, if I didn't see her, it would just been okay. That'd have been good. Yeah, because why? We're in love. This is love. That's what the church is called, Christianity today. They talk about love. But I'll tell you what, love, you just want to get together. And the more you realize you want to get together, you want to get married, you want to have children, all that stuff. Oh, you're talking about moving in, living, you want to live together. These are the plans. Well, I can just tell you this. That's not the plans of the church world today. That's not the plans of the church world. It's how we can get some God moving and go live my own life. That leads to divorce. That leads to no life. It just leads to divorce. Leads to more hurt, more pain, more junk. But see, when my heart was turned toward her, see, and this is, we need a heart change in the church. We've let our hearts get cold about things. I look and say, Lord, somebody needs to throw some gas on it. I need some gas thrown on me. Hallelujah. You can all throw a match too. Go right ahead. But I need gas thrown on. I need to burn. I need to have my heart turned back to where my heart is in complete devotion in the direction God wants to go. It wasn't a matter of back, in the 80s, we didn't do things. We had our stuff we had to take care of and do. But the whole thing of it is, God was able to work in our lives and do stuff. It's amazing how much time we spend after God. You folks realize how many days and time that I spent in the bedroom of my house alone. Wanda didn't see me a whole lot sometimes in a week's time because I was after God trying to get. And the Lord told me, see, Christians, this is what Christians told me. Here's Christian, wonderful Christian ministers. You're spending too much time chasing after God, and you need to spend more time with your family. Because that's going to make, see, if this is a church world. See, I watched them do it. I went, I was under Minister's Fellowship, a big church, and that's all they did. They pushed to getting our families have to get back together. So we have to have less church so families can spend more time together. And they have a nice carnal church today. Used to be a church on fire. This is what the Lord told me about my family relationship. He said, you don't need to spend more time with your wife. He said, you don't act right when you're with her. He said, what you need fixed. That's what he told me. He said, you need changed. And he was right. I needed change so when I was around my wife, it was like it was supposed to be. Hanging around with people that your heart is not toward changes nothing. All it does is fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's all it does. It changes nothing. Oh, if we spend more time with each other, things are going to get along. We'll just get along better. I laugh. Loads of people have tried that. Oh, you know, you just spend more time together. I'm going to tell you, you got to spend time with God because you need God in your marriage. When it has God working in his, in our marriage, one does a happier girl. All the rest of that junk don't matter. She's happier with God. Spending time means nothing because, you know what? You'll still have that. Because why? If that person's heart's not turned towards you when you're with them, you know it. You know it, and it don't fulfill a thing. You know it. You know it when somebody wants to be with you or don't want to be with you. You know it. Spending time together don't make love. You got to have it in you before you get there. You got to get it in there. You got to want to be with that individual. Spending time ain't going to make you want to be with that individual. Many people find that out. They get married when they really got to spend a lot of time and wake up in the morning and look at that thing on the other side of them, whether good or bad, and have to say, what on earth have I done? It's good preaching anyhow, folks. You know how many times I've had people come to me, want counseling on marriage and say, well, the individual does this or that and I don't like it. And I say, were they doing that when you were going together? Well, yeah, but I thought they would change. I said, well, it just shows how stupid you are. If somebody's doing something that you don't like and you wouldn't want to live with, don't ever marry them as long as they're doing it. Because you're just going to be irritated. That's the way it is. This is good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. But see, you always want your heart turned. That's why we want God. If our heart gets turned back to God. See, God knows whether if we're doing. Like, we may be doing. You may be doing it, following your hearts after God. But only you and God know that. But God knows if my heart's toward him or not. He knows that. I can't hide that. I can't hide that from him. I can't make him think I'm in love with him when he knows I'm not. It doesn't matter what Ed says about it. Hallelujah. But there's one thing that I saw. I saw in the 80s revival, that fire that moved in that revival, people's hearts were toward God. I'll tell you, the move of God among just the common everyday person who was flowing in the move at that time, I'll tell you, was as good as any of the ministers had going on, the big name ministers. It wasn't something we had to go watch some other guy. Thank God the things we learned back then, but they taught us to go do it, and we went and did it. We didn't have to go to their meetings just to see them do it. We did it. Farmers and businessmen in full gospel. My words, people get saved, healed, delivered. My God, miracles take place. All kinds of stuff would take place at those meetings. And those things went on through common guys, businessmen. My God, the farmers would come out of the field, wash up some, put on a suit and come to the thing. And my God, God would move through them. People would get delivered. Those were the things that were going on. That's why, because it was a fire of God. See, I saw the revival as I was a kid back in the years. The farmers. I mean, today, if you ask people in farming and that stuff and come out tonight to meetings and stuff, well, man, in the summertime in places, you'd never see anybody out doing anything. We'd never follow God. My word, because we got so busy. We got all the newest equipment and I got all the stuff. I'm not just knocking the farmers. This is our life. We got all the conveniences and the conveniences dominate our life. We still can't follow God. Something supernatural has to change because it ain't working trying to change it naturally. We need fire. Hallelujah. We need fire. It needs fire. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you need fire this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need to understand I'm talking this morning about things about fire. That they had back then. I want a fire that's greater than we had back then. I don't know. I didn't have the Azusa Street fire on me. I've had the fire of God working on me though so strong already. The anointing come on me so strong I can't stand it. The human flesh can only take so much of the power of God. I've had the ready to ask God to get it off of me. I can't stand it. It's like you're hooked to an electric fence or something. I don't know. Did anybody here ever touch electric fence? They're exciting, aren't they? I'll tell you what. I've had the anointing on me that strong already that I'm going to tell you what. It hurt. It was painful. Power of God. And I said, Lord, get this thing off of me. I can't stand it. It was actually painful. See, I understand why we need a glorified body. This death-doomed body can't take the full power of God. Couldn't do it. It'd fry it. It'd just fry the thing. And I'm serious. It'd fry it. So darn painful. My words, Lord, get this thing off of me. What do I do with it? You know, you could feel it building in you and think, let me touch something. Maybe we can drain a little bit of it out here or something to get this thing off of me. But it hurt. It actually, and I knew it was the power of God. It's the power of God on me. But it was painful. But we need, I tell you what, we need a move of God and a big time move of God. Hallelujah. And if the Lord said to Randall, we're to pray for this whirlwind, and he told me back then, you need to pray and ask for the fire of God. That's what we need. Because the first thing in this whirlwind is to bring that fire is what it's going to do. It's going to take the church and turn the church's heart back toward God again. Hallelujah. But you know what? This is God's plan, but you need to understand, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth. See, God can tell us his intent and purpose, but it won't come to pass till somebody says, I want what you want, Lord. I don't care how much God wants to move. Somebody's got to give him the approval in the earth to do it. We're the ones in the earth give the approval to do it. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to the church and said, church, you go. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. In other words, whatever you bind or whatever you loose, you'll either loose the power of God or you'll hold it back. That's why God said to Randall Greer, you ask for it. Start asking for it. Lord, this is what we want. What I want today, Father, what I want today is the fire of God. I want the fire of God. Hallelujah. It's not enough for me to ask for it. You have to ask for it. You have to want it. Do you want it on you? It ain't going to get on you just because it gets on me. I want you to understand. I watched this back during the Kenneth Hagin. God used him very mightily in the 80s and in the 90s with his Holy Ghost meetings. And those Holy Ghost meetings. But I noticed something in those Holy Ghost meetings. See, there was many people, they got blessed going to those meetings, but they never got into what was on those meetings. So you can be a Christian and you can be sitting in a meeting and you get a splash over from what somebody else has the anointing. But you just got splashed. You don't have it. You just got splashed with it. See, there's another thing for you to have it or you to get splashed by it. It's like one minister said, she said she was sitting in one of Brother Hagin's meetings. In fact, I was in the meeting she was in, and she's sitting there, and it was Brother Hagin Holy Ghost meeting, and the Holy Ghost is moving, and she's sitting there, and the power of God's moving. People are falling, the power, people are laughing, people, the drunk in the Holy Ghost. Well, we don't have that today. Get drunk in the Holy Ghost. My words, we're just trying to be so civilized. I've been in meetings, thousands of people so drunk, you just would not believe it. I've went out of Rhema one time, walked out of the auditorium and walked out in the parking lot, and I bet there was over 200 people laid out in the parking lot, just out cold, laying around on the parking lot, under the power of God. Dear Lord, we sure need some of that. Oh, boy, that don't seem civilized. That's right. God hasn't got American civilization. Thank God we'll all go to hell if he gets it. Hallelujah. You talk about drunk? I've had the anointing. I was in one of those meetings, got the anointing on me so drunk. Brother Hagin walked down past the row I was on, and that anointing got on me. We went to leave the service. Everybody I walked past fell under the power. I just walked past people. I'm trying to hit the door, trying to get out of the place. And every time I walk past somebody, they fall over under the power. And all of a sudden, people say, stay away from him! Stay away from him! If you want to get out the door, stay away from him! You won't make it out the door. I went and got in the car and drove. I stayed at a friend's house. Drove over to his house, got there, pulled in the driveway and stopped. Couldn't get out of the car. My legs wouldn't move. I said, well, no, I drove here. But couldn't. Sat out there for half an hour before I get out of the car. Before I get my legs. Talking, come on, legs move. Hallelujah. I've gotten the anointing on me so strong, I can think in English but only talk tongues. Every time I talk, tongues come out of my mouth. I can't think. I can't think in I don't think in tongues. I think in English, but when I talk, it comes out tongues. Hallelujah. But see, those are the days of drunkenness, and we need them back. On the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk. They weren't having this cute little church service. Oh, don't bring my friends to that. My God, 2,000 people might get saved. We don't want that to happen. I've been trying to reach my friend for Jesus and keep him away from God as much as I can. I'm one of the devil's best helpers. Because if we get them over there, they might think it's weird. Glory to God, get them over there. They know you're weird. They're going over there. It's amazing how God can minister things to people and talk things to people and say things to people. But see, there's a move of God that fire, that we got to have that fire back. We got to have that burning back again. Hallelujah. That move of God back again, where it becomes this thing where it's outside the control of us. It's outside the control of us. And we'll say, God, whatever you want to do with me, you can do it. Go ahead. I'm in cooperation with you. You know? John the Baptist, what did he say? I got to decrease so he can increase. The seeker-friendly movement has been, how can we increase men and decrease God? We increase men. We have the church that men want. I want the church God wants. I want the church God wants. Father, I thank you today. Father God, I expect fire. I expect fire. You told us to ask for it. You said to ask for it. And you're not a liar. You would never tell us to ask for something that you're not going to do. You would never do such a thing. That'd make you a liar, and that's impossible. The Bible tells us clearly it's impossible for God to lie. So we know, Lord God, Lord, you just didn't put these things in my heart. You've spoke these things to others. You've given these revelations to other people. Lord God, I've heard others talk of these things and say these things, Lord God. And Father, we're asking, just as your prophet Randall Greer, he saw the whirlwind. Lord God, we desire all that whirlwind brings, Lord God. We want it. We have to have it. There needs to be a move in these last days. And Lord God, we need to be changed. Father God, Father, forgive us. Forgive us for any kind of coldness. Forgive us, Lord, where we've held out, hallelujah, and held out, Lord God. But Father God, we want that fire. We want to be changed. Lord God, if there's any rocks in us, we want to burn up. If there's anything in us, Lord God, Lord, even dust, hallelujah, burn it up. Glory to God. If there's any water around that needs to be burned up, it ain't pure, burn it up, hallelujah. Lick it up, Lord God. Lord, we want fire to come upon us in the name of Jesus. We desire to be changed these last days. Father God, we want to walk in that place that you have for us. Lord God, we want our hearts turned totally back to you again. Lord God, we want to lay down whatever it is, hallelujah, whatever things of idols or whatever it might be, Lord God, we want to lay that down, hallelujah. Lord God, you alone are God, there is no other. You're God, the Lord is God, hallelujah, the Lord is God. And we thank you, Father God, for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, hallelujah, for pouring out the fire of God on us in Jesus' name. The fire of God. E pronte, mina farstitega, babaroke manino neda, vrande bokashtita casa, vrun mina natski leatosha. Bega legaduni, bella vrate, ebresheske lakeatoshe brakedoshin. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Oh, yes, it is the time. And I've asked my people to call upon me. And I've asked my people, and many have called for the things that they desired. But I want my people to call on me for what I desire. For I will fulfill the dreams of your heart. I will fulfill the vision that I have put in you. Call upon me to give you those things that I have desired for you. Seek me and you will find me. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Hallelujah. For I declare it, said the Lord, and I will not hold back in this day and time. For you have asked, and I've heard your cry, and I'm coming forth with great boldness in these times. And those who would stand before you to try to keep you from entering in, I, the Lord myself, will march upon them and remove them out of the way. Yes, and they will not stop my blessing from moving upon those who want me. For I have come in these days as a lion, and I have come, and I am going to cause a great roar to go across your nation. And that roar will rise up, and many will tremble, and many will shake with great fear. fear. But those who love me will rise up and cheer, for they know that their God has arisen, hallelujah, in glory and in power, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord saying this, we might look like we're little. We may look like we're little. Oh, but the Lord saying this, you have done great things. You have opened the door because you have used your faith. And you have asked me, yes, yes, and you have asked me, and I have responded to you. Yes, what you are loosing into this earth and what you're willing to bind, hallelujah, will bring my plan divine to pass in this last day. Hallelujah. Yes. And each one of you, I have a place for you to walk in this last day that you will fulfill. Yes. And it's not out just for one. For before men had looked at gifts, as if gifts would be, this one would have this, this one would have that, and in these last days it shall be so. But many will have this gift and that. They will have this one and the other. And they will operate in many and stand in many places for my glory. For I will use my people in many ways and in many fashions that will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And many will flow into the kingdom. Yes, there will be a great arising. Hallelujah. Many will see with their eyes the glory of God. They will know because of the places that you walk in. They will know me and see me and come running to me. Hallelujah. The ones that you have looked at, oh, and you have cried about and you have thought, oh, what's going to happen? And I say to you, says the Lord, stop your worry, stop your fear, because I have arisen on the scene. Yes, and I will bring them in, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Lord God, thank you. Thank you. There's a fire burning. Hallelujah. There's a fire burning. Lord God, hallelujah. We're getting hungrier and hungrier and thirstier, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hungrier and thirstier. Hungrier and thirstier. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just want to do whatever you'd like to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to cooperate with you today. We want to cooperate with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Proste. Ha, ha. Ha. Do you have something, Mike? Hallelujah. Get your microphone. I just got a sense or something needs to be said. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Well, it's just on my heart about things that you had in you as a child. I know Darlene and I talk about this, where as a young girl, she had a heart for God. I mean, not that we don't now, but as a boy, I remember certain things. Just, you didn't know anything. All you knew, you were close to God.
Yeah.
And then certain things happen, and you know how it is. You grow up, and each person is different. But there's a pullback of God pulling out of you the things, the closest to Him. I mean, you know, He gave your spirit life in this earth, and children are not far from leaving that atmosphere.
Hallelujah. They're amen. Closer that's to right. That's right.
They know amen. The spirit amen. Of God. And there's things. I mean, I've been pondering about something. He brought it back to me as a kid. I'm trying to figure out what all it means. I know what it means in here. But the natural, you're trying to how to act on it. But so I'm believing that's for everybody here. There's things, maybe you don't even know, but things in your heart that are want to surface for this time.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like my mom said when I was a child. She said, you used to talk about Jesus just like you knew Him personally. And, you know, there's things in us as children. There's things rising up and get inside of us. As we get older, lots of times because of things in life, we get over in those areas, and we get all of our life so busy and everything like that, and that stuff gets hidden within us. Hallelujah. I mean, there was a simplicity. If you take children, there's a simplicity. Sometimes, you know, like just say with Braden. Braden will make a remark about Jesus sometimes just to astound me. I'll think, where he's thinking at, most spirit-filled people don't even think along that line. That he'll say something, I'll think, dear Lord, there's something in his spirit. There's a reality of God in him. Hallelujah. You know, like Brother Hagin tells a story about a minister who died in an air crash. When the plane was taken off, his little son was laying in the back of their car sleeping because his mom took him to the airport to take off, and the plane took off. The boy sat up and looked out and says, "Don't Daddy know that airplane's going to crash?" So he was a minister. But see, he got himself probably so full of ministry, he wasn't hearing from God. You know, we're just going to do these, we're going to go minister, but not listening on the inside. And his little son said, "Don't Daddy know?" Well, the plane crashed and his daddy died. He said, "Don't Daddy know?" See, lots of times things like that happen. People don't know because, you know, children have that tendency. They're not consumed with so much stuff around us, you know. And we're saying, telling people, trying to get them to turn them into people like us. You got to be more reasonable, child. And we come to somebody like me and don't listen to God. Now, you just need to do this. Hallelujah. See, it's one thing is I had to learn when getting over in the prophet's ministry, I had to become more childlike from the standpoint of listening because of getting up and ministering. You got to get over and listen more in that area of what you got to do at the time. Something may seem right and really the thing to do, but when the time comes, exact time to do it, you find that ain't the thing to do right now. That's not the thing to do right now. Because, see, our thinking comes from the time we're thinking right now. And I'm thinking about, we could build on this over here and what I've been teaching, and this would be good. And I say, hey, it is a good thing, but if God's not moving in that direction, it's not a good thing. Even then, it'd be biblical teaching. But if ain't what the Holy Ghost is doing. And you know what a child will do? If something comes up in their heart, they'll just walk over there and go to. They'll just, hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't need to become more educated. We don't need to become more educated. When it comes to things of God, we don't need to become more educated. We just become more obedient and listening on the inside. Hallelujah. Dreams fulfilled from the past. Just think, that have been in our hearts as children. This is why people live and die and never are fulfilled. Because there's only one way to have fulfillment, and that's from the inside, from the heart. That's the only way to have fulfillment. When your heart is satisfied, you'll be satisfied. When your heart gets satisfied, see, there's things within my heart are not satisfied, and I will never be happy till they're satisfied. I walk around miserable, but I just always inside of me, there's always something I know there's more that I have to get a hold of for a satisfaction on the inside of me that I have to have. Glory to God, I have to have. It's not a painful thing. It's a wonderful thing when you realize it and you pay attention to it because it'll keep you after God. That's what'll keep you after God. Most people, they try to do things to hide that, to get a satisfaction, but they use the flesh to do it. Well, I'm doing a lot of stuff for God. Not if He didn't tell you to do it, you're doing it. It didn't do anything for God. It's doing what's in our heart and our heart's desire. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for being so patient with us, dear Lord. Lord, I'd have quit on me a long time ago. But your kindness and your goodness and your mercy. Lord God, you've been working and preparing us for this time. And Father, what a great time. What a great time. Father God, we're stepping into a place of glory. Lord God, our hearts are craving for it and we desire. Lord God, Lord, I don't want to read it on the pages of the books that somebody else just experienced it if I can't. I don't want to hear another testimony that just what we could do that. No, Lord God, I know what you're saying to us. We're going to walk in these things. We're going to live in this place. Hallelujah. We're going to come to this place of this glory. Lord God, that men of old have dreamed about. Men of old has desired. As Jesus said in the word to the 70 after he sent them out, he said there was kings and prophets. Dreamed about the things that you see and you walk in. They dreamed about it. Hallelujah. Lord God, we are in the days of the fulfillment of the dreams. Of the fulfillment of the dreams of all men will be fulfilled in these last days. Hallelujah. In the church before our Master Jesus returns. Hallelujah. There will be a fulfillment. Glory to God. And I thank you, Father, that we're part of that fulfillment. Glory to God. Lord, we're vessels that you are going to use. Hallelujah. You know we desire to be used, but Lord God, we declare you will use us. Hallelujah. To fulfill your plans and your purposes in these last days. Jesus Christ will be magnified. Jesus Christ will be glorified. Hallelujah. 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 We're being changed. We're being changed. We're being changed. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to just encourage you before you go. Don't just make this a thing we have right here in this service today, and we did this, and then come back next week. I tell you, you get home, you tell God, you talk to God in your voice. Ain't enough for me to say it. What I say is going to come to pass for me, but that don't mean it's going to come to pass for you. You got a want. You got a desire. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, just tell God, God, I ain't going to be satisfied till I'm on fire. I ain't going to be satisfied till I'm burning up. Hallelujah. I want to, Lord, I don't want to be a candle. I don't want to sing songs about the candle in me. I want to sing a song about that roaring blaze of a 100-story tower burning. Glory to God. Fire everywhere, burning everything up within miles around it. Hallelujah. We want a fire, glory to God, not candles. We want fires. I don't want a lamp. Let's burn up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get consumed with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have a glorious, glorious week.